Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1-300-872-911.
It's 10:15. A lot of people pick up this Ken's Post today and say, oh no, this double island thing just goes on and on endlessly. It's just heartbreaking for a whole lot of people that simply want the restoration of access, if you like, to their playground, for example. It might be day trippers, might be tourists. It used to be, you know, a really, really delightful place to visit. And what happened a few years ago? Changed hands and it's all gone to, well, the word I shouldn't use on here, so I won't. But anyway, here we go. We're going to have a longer wait than most people would have wanted. Under the heading Island Access an Issue, this is across page 7, Ken's Post today. Bronwyn Farr wrote, lawyers for Hong Kong investor Benny Wu have vociferously argued his company should not be stripped of the lease it's got of defunct Double Island, saying it was impossible to sort out issues because of a lack of barge access. A lack of barge access. Last October, Resources Minister Scott Stewart's department applied to the Land Court to strip Mr. Wu's Fortune Island holding company of the lease he acquired for $5.68 million. This is back in 2012. So 12 years, there you go. We haven't really had access to this little bit of paradise. Here's the quote from Minister Stewart. Lessees on government property are required to meet the conditions on their leases. It goes on to say provision of day-use facilities, including amenities, was a condition of that lease. Last year, the government issued a March 31 deadline to fix things. Fortune Island Holding legal representatives have responded in a 9-page document filed with the Land Court. It said the company did not admit the department or Ken's council had received any complaints about the use and management of the land because it did not know if that was true. The company said that in compliance with conditions of its lease, it had prepared bushfire and facilities management plan, a disaster management plan and a waste management plan, all of which were now approved. It said to the extent it had not complied with any condition of the lease, that was because it was unable to secure a barge to take the infrastructure, the equipment and the personnel to sort those issues out seriously. I think we're all hoping and praying, surely this isn't going to go on endlessly because it's been crying out for attention for a large part of that 12-year period. I've got Craig Crawford on the line. I presume he's as frustrated as we are. He's the state member for Barron River for the ALP. Craig, good morning.
G'day, John.
Here we go. This looks like an extended matter or not?
Well, it's in the court, obviously. Exactly. So not really sure on what the timeline looks like. But you know, look, we're pretty resolute on this. We're holding a very, very firm gaze on this one. For a long time, we've believed that Mr. Wu has not been compliant. We're holding the line on that. You know, it's obviously a court argument from his people. I don't buy it, and hopefully the court doesn't buy it as well.
Well, there's the point. You're saying you're still fairly confident of getting this thing put to one side, having it sorted out and then proceeding with upgrading the whole facility. You've already talked about the upgrade for the jetty. It'd be very, very sad if that wasn't going to make more accessible the island itself. A whole lot of people, particularly out on the northern beaches and in the tourism industry, thought, well, this is going to make it accessible and safe at long, long last, getting that jetty upgrade completed.
Yeah. Look, and you know, these sort of two things, like I guess they do go together, but yes, they are separate. So certainly the jetty upgrade needs to happen irrespective of what happens to Double Island. And Main Roads is currently doing the assessments that we need them to do to work out some options there. So that one's already running its course. The obviously an upgraded jetty or with safe access definitely makes for a good proposition for Double Island for someone to do something really good with it, day tripping, like you say, all those sorts of things. But also means that, you know, there's other options then, obviously, for the jetty. But, you know, when it comes to Double Island, yeah, like I read that article this morning as well, and I thought, well, you know, defence lawyers have obviously got to run a case. They've had to come up with what they think is plausible. I don't buy it. I don't think the public buys it. I don't think anyone that's been out there and seen Double Island buys it. Hopefully the court's the same.
Now, this is a horrible question. Time frames for these bloody proceedings. Would you be prepared to even hazard a guess about months or years?
Pretty hard. I thought we would have been done by now. But obviously, you know, we are in the hands of the court and you know how things go in court, particularly in civil matters like this, you know. You don't know how long adjournments go for and all those sorts of things. You know, I'd be pretty disappointed, mate, if we haven't had this, don't get this resolved in 2024. Yeah. Like, if we get to 2025 and this is still kicking along, I'll be pretty annoyed. But, all the government department can do, all our lawyers can do is just ride this wave, making sure that we don't make a false move, making sure that we stay on track, and let the court make its decision.
Yeah. Craig, a whole lot of people have never been to Double Island. In fact, it's probably a small minority. It's not like a Green Island or a Fitzroy Island on that sort of basis. It's not really, a barrier reef coral atoll or anything. But the people that did go out there, it had a unique appeal. There was a restaurant there. I remember sometimes there'd be quite high-profile entertainers, singers, whatever. An opera star once was there. And people would say, would you mind singing a song? And they'd walk over to the microphone and you'd have some of the best entertainers in the country on our little Double Island. So I think those who've enjoyed that in the past would just love to see it, reignited again.
I agree. I think the options are huge. You know, for those people that get seasick and all those sorts of things, like, it's just there, you know. So the boat ride is actually quite doable. Mm. The views from Double Island looking back at Palm Cove are just outstanding. Exactly. I reckon you get the best view of Palm Cove. So, there's really good options. I know we've had this yarn before. I don't think that it's suited for the big high-end boutique resort that we've had in the past. Sure. I'd like to see something that connects it to Palm Cove, day trippers, some overnight stays, all that sort of thing, just to add to the Palm Cove experience. I think that's the answer, and hopefully an operator gets an opportunity to do that sometime.
Well, exactly. You and I might be able to crack a bottle of Passion Pop one day over on the island.
Right. I haven't had that for years, but I'll give it a crack, mate.
Good on you, Craig. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
That's Craig Crawford. He's the state member for the seat of Barron River for the ALP.